Okay, here we go for another night. Thanks for coming back tonight. I didn't know if we'd have anybody here. I figured if we had three, we'd be good to go. For those of you that don't know me, I think everybody does, maybe out in Dorito land, I'm Gary Watson. I've been filling in for our pastor, Joe Griffin, who's at his grandson's graduation this evening. Please continue to pray for Joe and Henry as they travel. Joe will return on Sunday, ready to continue with our study of the book of James. Don't forget your umbrellas, because he's going to make it rain, I'm sure, Sunday. We'll start with rebound, confession alone to God alone if necessary. I'll open in prayer and we'll get started tonight. Okay, here we go. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to study your word. We pray for concentration on what is going to be presented tonight, that we might be encouraged to focus or refocus our spiritual life, and that we might be able to slow the descent of this nation into destruction. And we lift these prayers in the name of your anointed Son, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As I said last night, it's always an honor to stand here in this pulpit where there's been so much doctrine taught through the years. And will be continued to be taught by our pastor. We're going to pick up where we left off last night. I'm going to give you just a couple points of review, and then we're going to get into the meat of it and finish it up tonight. And I think it'll all make sense when we're finished. So here we go with the review. I think there's some notes, in fact, I think. And as a second thing, I forgot to put my contact information up, and I got grief for that. So I'm hoping Dana back there can help me remember to put it up at the end. But we'll take off that ugly mug and go back over here now. There we go. Okay. Greatness is not in the moment. Greatness is day after day of routine, moving ahead in the plan of God. That's greatness, and I told you it wasn't glamorous. Okay, it's not some fancy Dan lifestyle. It's just plodding along, one foot in front of the other. When the spiritual life comes first, the believer who gets the right perspective on all aspects of temporal life, we are able to set boundaries on our temporal life. I told you, you still have children events, you still have family, you still have friends, you still have to do things, but when you set those boundaries, it does not interfere with your Bible study or your spiritual advance. A believer who is advancing is able to set routines in life for the purpose of growing and advancing. Another principle, the spiritual life must come first, then everything else falls into place. You must put spiritual growth first. Routine and preparation need to be daily. You can't be great at anything without a routine necessary to get there. The routine of doctrinal inculcation is the spiritual training that a believer needs for serving and glorifying God in every aspect of his life. And these are just the final points we had last night, just kind of getting us reoriented to where we're at. I told you couldn't have a great prayer life without a good routine, and we went through that. A Christian must establish some spiritual growth if they ever hope to advance in the plan of God. That's why we have the Bible. That's our textbook. There is no other acceptable outcome for any believer but to learn grace orientation. I mentioned last night, it's grace, grace, grace. We're so quick not to let others show grace to other people, but that's really what it's all about, and that's why you need to get to grace orientation. Christians must have nourishment if they intend to grow up. Growing up spiritually is akin to growing up physically, and both require nourishment for growth. And that's where we left off last night. That was the last point. When you get serious about your spiritual advance, it's an amazing plodding routine that develops into the greatest life anyone could experience. It's just plodding along. It's not fancy. It's not running. It's not walking. It's just a plodding right along day after day after day. Listen, greatness in the Christian life is not speaking holy words, acting holy, giving money. It's not doing all these things which Christians today think make them great believers. What you are doing right now is what makes you great in the Christian life. Being here tonight at Bible study, that's what makes you great. Through a day-by-day study of the Word of God, you gain a relationship with our Lord. That's it. When you develop a great routine and perseverance, you will get momentum in your Christian life. I guarantee you. With a day-by-day advance, you gain great confidence of your eternal future. And you don't think about that, but I don't know if any of you have ever had a believer tell you, I'm concerned about dying, you know, I'm not really sure. They don't have any confidence in their eternal future. Obviously, no one's ever taught them John 10, 28, and 29. But the real reason they don't have confidence in their eternal future is because they're not advancing day by day. They're not getting to Bible class. The Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Not hope, not guess, but that you know you have eternal life. You develop a relaxed mental attitude in the midst of all turmoil that surrounds you. And this is so important and such an advantage when a crisis hits. Virus, riots, loss of jobs, friends let you down. Believers with no routine and no perseverance, they don't have a relaxed mental attitude like we can have. There's stress and turmoil in their soul. Why? No spiritual growth. There's nothing to draw on. Learning to think with the very mind of Christ so that following him becomes second nature. We talked about wheel tracks last night. That's the path of least resistance. As you do repetition, 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 all of a sudden you wake up the next day, and if you don't do it, it's on your mind all day long. Boy, I got to get a class in. I didn't get a class in today. And later on tonight in the study, we'll see what happens when you voluntarily put off the study of the Word of God. Another great reward of following the Lord is that in spiritual maturity, there are permanent solutions which maximize a wonderful life that's provided for you. Why not take this route? Yeah, there'll be hardship and there'll be problems, but the rewards far outweigh those issues and problems that you'll have. There are lasting benefits like no other in temporal life. There is nothing in this life that can match what the Lord Jesus Christ provides when we learn his word. You learn the problem-solving devices and can recall them and use them. You say, well, you know, I know they're there. I know where to look for them if I need them. But do you know them? Can you recite all 10 if someone came up? Do you have any idea that the faith rest drill is problem-solving device number 3? Or that all of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have a personal sense of destiny? Problem-solving device number 6? The greatest one of all is problem-solving device number 10, occupation with Christ. Have you taken the time to commit these to memory, to understand them, to know? You can preclude stress in the Christian way of life by applying Bible doctrine, utilizing the resources of the problem-solving devices every day. All the resources available to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ are available to you. And they're not found anywhere else except in Bible study. That's the only place they're found. A day-by-day advance. The spiritual life and applying Bible doctrine will be rewarding beyond anything this temporal life has to offer. Here's another one for you. It is to share the wonderful privilege of a personal relationship with God. Not some religion, not something else, some gimmick. It's a personal relationship. That's pretty amazing to me. That's what happens when you advance in the Christian life. Do you get roadblocks? Of course you do. But look what you get in return. You will have confidence of his grace, his faithfulness, and care every step of your life. Absolute security in Christ. That is something no one else has to offer you. No other system. We're talking about absolute security in Jesus Christ. And that's pretty amazing. You will have no uncertainty who oversees and guides your life. There won't be any confusion. Absolute certainty. You know there is an unassailable, personalized plan for you, and it cannot be equaled by any other human system. You have absolute truth, and the wisdom of the ages at your fingertips and in your soul. You have the very mind of Christ available to you. You know, everyone else keeps changing their opinions. Everybody else vacillates left or right. We don't have to worry about that. Our opinions don't need to change when it's based on what's found in the mind of Christ. You get eternal security that no other system can offer. One of the 39 irrevocable assets given to you at the moment of salvation. That's pretty amazing. You also share in his sonship, his heirship, your royalty, his righteousness. Those are all part of those 39. And Paul came up with this slide today. And when you list all those, that's pretty amazing. All comes free, compliments of the grace of God. You have opened your eyes to who you are and what you have in Christ. And that's called spiritual self-esteem. And that goes back to the problem-solving devices. You develop a great relationship with the Lord and are able to use the problem-solving devices in adversity. You have an unwavering confidence in your eternal future. When you gain that confidence, gain that routine, all the phoniness of legalism, the hype of emotionalism, are all exposed and removed. Grace orientation will remove the legalism that resides within us. It's the only way it can be done. The mature Christian life gained by the routine of metabolizing Bible doctrine is a life without pretense and a life without hypocrisy. You know, one of the big things you hear in Christianity is, I can't believe they're Christians. They're such hypocrites. They're such hypocrites. Well, you know, some of these people are. You know why? Because they say they love God and they don't learn his commandments. They don't know what they're supposed to do. And if they do know, they're not doing it. The more you hear, the more opportunity for growth. Here's the caveat. If you're listening to the right person. If you're not listening to the right person, you're not growing. Okay? 20 minutes does not cut it to hear a great story and then go out and take on the world. The Word of God in your soul and occupation with Christ prepares you to meet any exigency in your life, any and all circumstances you can handle. And as long as God keeps you here on this earth, you're in for the most fantastic journey you could ever think of. If you don't have a good routine and persistence in the spiritual life, you know what you're going to get? Unfulfilled expectations, false promises, frustrations, nagging doubt, soul bankruptcy, and ultimate failure in the Christian life. You're still going to heaven, but you will be minus any rewards, and you will fail to fulfill God's plan for your life and time. In Luke 9:57-62, and in Matthew 8:19-22, we're not going to go into all those tonight, but they're there for your reference. You see an example of short-time followers, Christian comets, here today, gone tomorrow, short-time trusters. You know, some believers talk a good game, but when it comes right down to it, they just make excuses. They are part-time followers who opt out when the time gets tough. Or, I don't know about you, but I see many people opting out when the times are going great. They don't need it anymore. They're on top of the world. Why do they need to come to Bible class? Why do I need to waste an hour of my time every day studying God's Word? Don't need to. They're short-time followers, Christian comments, kicking the tires, sticking their toe in the doctrinal bucket, and then bailing because it's not any fun. You want to be great at your job? You want to be great with your hobbies? What about your spiritual life? You practice the others. What about practicing your spiritual life? It takes a commitment. It takes time. Maybe you just want to be a peripheral Christian who don't consistently take in Bible doctrine and they don't grow spiritually. They have no application whatsoever. There's nothing there to apply. They are not prepared to consistently do what is required to fulfill the plan of God on a daily basis. Are you a short-time follower? Oh, you're a believer, all right. You'll be in heaven. But there won't be any rewards because you couldn't make time for the advance. And that's really the challenge before we get to the end, where you can think about your spiritual life as we go through the doctrine we're going to cover here shortly. Principle, there is only one reason to be consistent in Bible class, and that's to grow spiritually. And it's because of your motivation, because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of excuses to miss, to take a day off, to forget spiritual nourishment. Doesn't look like any of us have been missing any meals. What about your spiritual life? Any excuses are a volunteering break in spiritual growth. Every day without Bible doctrine is a wasted day for spiritual advance. You can volunteer to take a day off. You know, I've talked to several military guys through the years, and I told them, when you deploy and when you're on a mission and you're not able to take in the Word of God or you're in training, guess what? That's when you have to use what you have in your soul. But you must get back to it as soon as the mission is over. Every day you delay, there's a chance you're not going to get back to it. But I had one tell me the other night, no matter how busy you are, no matter what you have going on, there is no excuse to skip studying the Word of God. That came from them. So they're not making excuses. And if anybody could, they could with their training. When there is a break in spiritual growth, then spiritual growth will become secondary to everything else in your life. Often the short break or short time away to do something else gets extended indefinitely. And that's what happens when a believer falls into reversionism. You leave your first love and you take up something else. You can't leave your first love. It's hard to get back at it. There is no excuse for putting off your spiritual advance. There, I've said it. I've laid it right out there. There's no excuse. And by the way, Satan does not want you to grow to become a mature believer. He will try to discourage you with your own mistakes and your own weaknesses. He'll try to get you trapped in the guilt where he can manipulate you. You have to be careful about this and not get disillusioned with yourself. God has not set some standard that's unattainable. He doesn't put that carrot out there knowing you can never get there. It's not the way it is. The alternative is divine discipline. But you need to remember this. Any punishment will be designed to motivate you to rebound and return to grace orientation and spiritual advance. He's not up there going, I got old Fred over there. I'm going to get him. I owe him from last month. It's not like that. He wants you to get back to your first love. And it starts right here. It starts with a daily intake of the Word of God. The discipline to the believer is always done in love by God. Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Doesn't say whom the Lord wants to get even with or who the Lord's ticked at. Doesn't say that. It's for the purpose of spiritual recovery. Here's a principle. The time the Lord has given you is so valuable that you have been given time so you develop wisdom and understanding so you can represent Jesus Christ. You not only represent him, but you have to represent him to those you come in contact with. The bottom line is, following Christ is a lifelong pursuit that must be consistently chosen and fulfilled despite the difficulty. It's not easy. It's not easy getting up an extra hour early. It's not easy giving up that lunch hour so you can take in a Bible class. The last thing Peter said before he died in 2 Peter 3:18 was, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and in the day of eternity. Before Peter died, he understood that God emphasis must precede people emphasis. Although Jesus Christ is the Shekinah glory, only our advance to spiritual maturity gives him the glory that belongs to him from us as members of his royal family. I think we lose sight of that sometimes. If you are going to lead the way into the next generation, you have got to be faithful to the mandates, and we studied them last night. 2 Peter 3:18, grow. Matthew 11:29, learn. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. All imperative moods, all commands from the commanding officer. Who is that? Jesus Christ. He's our commanding officer. If you are not prepared, you can't be used by God. The only way to be prepared is to obey the mandates. You need to be doing just what you're doing right now, day after day after day after day. For professional athletes, the hours spent in training translates to a life in professional sports of fame, money, and hot chicks. No, fame and money. Just trying to see who was awake. The big stage of the Christian life is open to the advancing believer, the plowing ahead believer. Growing in the Christian life can be tiresome, tedious, it can be wearisome. I just don't want to do it today, but the results of plowing and plodding ahead are worth it. Fulfilling the plan of God for your life in a fantastic Hall of Fame way that will be and is being recorded in heaven. Everything you do, every move you make, every doctrine you inculcate, every gospel presentation moves you ahead in the plan of God and moves you into greatness. Let that sink in. Everything you do in fellowship moves you into greatness. You may not be great here on this earth. You may not have your name up in lights. But you know what? Compared to our time here, eternity is a long time. Much better to have your name in lights up there than here. As we get close to finishing this part, I hope I haven't lost you, but I do hope that I have challenged you to stay the course, to develop a routine, to get serious about a day-to-day study of God's Word, and to never, ever quit. Now, what does it take to accomplish this? Well, here you go. You need to have a good routine in order to consistently study God's Word on a daily basis. Otherwise, you're never going to make the time. It'll always be starting and stopping and starting and stopping. It's kind of like at the end of the year, you make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to go to the gym. Boy, you go like crazy in January. February, you go a little less. March, you don't go at all. And at the end of the year, you're complaining about all your money you spent and you didn't use it. You start and you stop. And the next year, you do it again. You start and you stop. Diets. I'm on a diet every Monday. It only lasts till noon. But I'm working at it. I'm hoping next week to get to Tuesday. But I'm always on a diet, starting and stopping, starting and stopping. Same is true in our spiritual life. If you don't have a good routine, you never can get in the groove, I'll call it. You're starting and you're stopping. You must never, ever quit. Always forward. Always advancing. Jesus Christ never quit once in 33 years, and you can't quit either. It has to be forever forward. Even if you've had a long, exhausted day, if you're leaning forward in your foxhole, you're at least going forward. You don't want to fall back. You need to make Bible doctrine and the study of the Word of God your number one priority. You must be consistent with your intake with the Word of God and apply it every day in your life. You know, application's the hard part. It's hard to apply it. You know, you got all this things in your head and you're thinking, I know what I need to do. And then Fred comes up and says, if it was me, I'd do it this way. Next thing you know, you're doing it that way because you didn't have the courage to apply it. If you apply it, you will see it work. So if you have the courage to apply it, it will build confidence for you to do it next time and the time after. You know what's funny is? If you don't ever take it in, you don't have anything in your soul to apply anyway. You got to get with it. Organize your thinking around Jesus Christ. Now, these are all ways to accomplish what we've been talking about. Our love for Him is our motivation, and we can never lose sight of it. I said last night, you all know it. That's our motivational virtue. Impersonal love is our functional virtue. Learn the mystery doctrines of the church age. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Right there. He's in us. Somebody the other day said, boy, I wish Christ would come back and take me home. And I looked at him and said, He's here. He's in you. And they looked at me like they were, you know, I was crazy or possessed. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Organize your life around Bible doctrine. Set those temporal boundaries. I'm not saying it's always going to be easy. You must do this if you are ever going to get momentum in your spiritual life. Got to get the momentum. You got to set some boundaries so that it does not infringe on your Bible study, your advance. Occupy yourself with Christ. Concentrate on Christ. Hebrews 12:2. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, suffered the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Occupy yourself with Christ. Why? Galatians 4:19. Until Christ is formed in you. What is your priority, number one? What is your motivation? It's your personal love for Jesus Christ. Never forget. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. I'm going to end our study, take us through till we close tonight, with the doctrine of spiritual approval. And as we go through it, you can think about your spiritual life. We're going to do these point by point. One, qualification for promotion in the spiritual life comes only after divine approval. Qualification for promotion in the spiritual life comes only after divine approval. 1 Peter 2:21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Before our Lord Jesus Christ was qualified to go to the cross, he had to meet divine approval, 33 years worth of testing. Before God ever turns you loose, you're going to have to meet divine approval. God uses prepared people. Point number two, the call of God invites you to a life of suffering. This doesn't mean that God wants you to live like a homeless person and have nothing. But let's look at Romans 5:3. It says, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Now, last night I said you got to have perseverance. You got to stick this out. Right here in Romans 5:3 is proven character. You've got to have proven character. Three, it is the gift of the Holy Spirit that enables us to meet the challenge of the spiritual life and pass the test of adversity. Where do you get the gift of the Holy Spirit? You received it the day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit seals you, and when you believe in Jesus Christ, you're sealed until the exit resurrection or until you die to go to be face to face with the Lord. The Holy Spirit fills you. He indwells you. He deploys spiritual gifts in your life. It's all the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's a phenomenal asset in your life. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to meet the challenges of the spiritual life. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Word of God in your soul that gives you the power to handle all situations in your life. And guess what? You got to know rebound. Problem-solving device number one. Point number four. The call of God invites misunderstanding in your motives and your actions. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, people are going to dump you. You get serious about studying Bible doctrine, you're going to lose friends. Some of those will be Christian friends. If you're at a mainline denomination, you leave there and come here, you're going to find out they probably really weren't your friends in the first place. Principle, some of the greatest heartbreaks will be when close friends and family don't get serious about studying Bible doctrine and it divides you. Be ready, because if you're serious about what we're doing here tonight, and you take this study seriously, you're going to lose friends. You're going to lose family. They're going to say, come on, let's go out tonight. Come on, I got something going on. And you're going to say, well, I got Bible study. What? Pressure's going to come because they're going to want you to give it up to come with them. Point number five, the believer should never try to fit in. If you're worried about fitting in, you just hang it up as a Christian. When you die, you'll go to heaven with no more sorrow and no more tears. But as long as you're alive on this earth, you'll be the most insecure person you've ever met. You're going to be miserable because you're going to think no one ever likes you. Don't ever try to fit in because you're always under suspicion from all sides. You're going to be avoided by those outside your belief structure. If they're not advancing like you're advancing, you're not going to have the same rapport. You get the rapport because you think alike. So if you're worried about making friends and influencing people, you've got the wrong priorities. The priority is the Word of God, number one. Again, I hope you're thinking about your own spiritual life. This is a way to evaluate it as we go through this. Point number six, to pay the price of approval, you must be willing to go it alone. You must be willing to utilize grace and stay focused for a lifetime. Point number seven, the proven character is vindicated by faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's confidence in the invisible assets God has given to you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have invisible assets. So the proven character is vindicated by faith. You know faith can protect you? Look at Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So we've got you're vindicated by faith. Faith can protect you. Did you know faith could grow? Only if it's watered by the Word. We talked about that last night, didn't we? It's got to be watered by the Word. Otherwise, you end up with a dehydrated soul. There's nothing there you can use. 2 Corinthians 10:15. Not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other men's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, there it is. You plant faith, it'll grow. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, now there's saving faith. So we've got, you're vindicated by faith. Faith can protect you. Faith can grow. And there's saving faith. For by grace you are saved by faith. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now guess what? There's living faith. Habakkuk 2:4. Can you find Habakkuk? Fortunately, I wrote it down here. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith. Galatians 3:11. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. They are vindicated by faith. Faith will protect you. Faith can grow. Saving faith, living faith. It's all really just a daily faith rest. It's mixing faith with the promises of God every day. God said it, you do it. God said it, you believe it. You don't have any faith? Well, guess what? That's one of the reasons God doesn't answer prayers. You know what else? Domestic tranquility. When that's messed up, God doesn't answer prayers. Because you're out of his will and plan, what you're asking for. Another reason. But if you don't have any faith, that's one of the 10 reasons God will not answer prayers. 8. The proven character is educated by doctrine. Hebrews 5. That's what happens when you walk away from your first love. You're dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good from evil. The proven character is educated by doctrine. Have you obeyed the mandate in 2 Peter 3:18? Grow. You can't grow if you don't eat. Jeremiah said, your words were food, and I ate them. When you get the Bible class under a qualified pastor, you are being fed. When you get the Bible class at Grace Doctrine Church, you're getting a five-star meal here. Never forget that. Remember 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace? And that's it in the imperative mood. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. Again, it's a command. It's what we need to be doing. Approved. And that's the proven character I'm talking about. By the way, your sin nature is not eradicated. It's not gotten rid of. Here's an exercise for you, and I heard someone do this. And I wrote it down. But if you go outside at night and you look at your car, you don't see any dirt on it. But if you turn on a flashlight, and as you walk closer to your car, the closer you get to it, the more dirt you see. You get up there and you find out it's really dirty. That's the way it's going to be with your spiritual life. The closer you get to God through the study of His Word, the more dirt you're going to see. Point number 9, he's motivated by personal love for God. Problem-solving device number 7, our motivational virtue. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, for his commandments are not burdensome. Do you love God? Yes, I do. You probably heard that a million times. You love God? Oh, yes, I do. Do you keep his commandments? Then they look at you like a deer in the headlights. Do you even know what they are? The test is right here in 1 John 5:3. If you love me, obey me. His word tells us it's not hard. It's just making good decisions every day. You can't know what the Bible says if you don't come to Bible class. If you're distracted by the details of life, there is a mandate in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And that's just reciprocal love for God right there. We love him because he first loved us. You could love him. He won't lie to you. He won't cheat on you. He won't throw you under the bus. He won't abandon you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't care who you are, you can always trust God. Always. When you get confused, you go to God and say, what should I do? He will show you. Point number 10. He's evaluated by adversity. What does this mean? Ecclesiastes 7:14. It says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider this. Surely God has appointed one as well as the other. There's going to be good times and there's going to be bad times. And guess what? God's going to evaluate you on both of them. Point 11, you are elevated by fidelity. 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Before he was ever appointed, he had to be proven. Revelation 2:10, to the church at Smyrna, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Fidelity is essential to having a proven character. Without fidelity, God can never promote you. So what have we had? Proven character, educated by doctrine. He's evaluated by adversity. He's elevated by fidelity. He's taught out of doctrine. He's molded by discipline. He's promoted by grace, vindicated by God, elevated by Christ. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God, and moreover it is required in stewards that they may be found faithful. You are elevated by fidelity. Here's a few final thoughts, some steps to keep you in the game. Keep you motivated. Don't deviate from sound doctrine. Hebrews 13, 8 and 9 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Don't deviate from sound doctrine. Don't drift from grace. Hebrews 2:16, we must pay attention to what we've learned, lest we drift away. So don't deviate from sound doctrine. Don't drift from grace. Don't be discouraged by the discipline. Hebrews 12:2, those whom God loves, he disciplines. You sin, you confess it, you move on. Sin, confess, move on. Don't have to feel sorry. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to come tell me about it. Don't have to call Joe. I think he'd appreciate it if you didn't call him and tell him everything he did. Okay? You sin, you confess, you move on. Pick up your shield and get back in ranks. You want to be up here? I lost my favorite slide. Where is it? I'm looking for the front ranker one so I can show you how you're on the bench. Never mind. It's in there. It happens every time. You confess your sin, you move on. Pick up your shield and get back in ranks. Remember, discipline corrects your course. Without it, we continue to go down the my way highway, doing our own thing. When you get discipline, it's like, man, that 2x4 just hit me right between the eye. I've been hit by a 2x4 between the eye. You don't want that. Go for something smaller, like a switch. Do not doubt God's timing and provision, as Abraham and Sarah did, Genesis 16, 1 and 2. So you don't deviate from sound doctrine. You don't drift from grace. Don't be discouraged by the discipline. Don't doubt God's timing and provisions. And dedicate yourself fully to the Lord. Jeremiah 4:4. You must genuinely dedicate yourselves to the Lord and get rid of everything that hinders your commitment to me. I don't think he left out much. Get rid of anything and everything that hinders your advance. That's one you might want to memorize. Now here's the question. What will you do? There has never been a better opportunity to be an invisible hero than right now. The nation needs you. Are you content to be on the team and then put your shield down, lay your pike down, and get on the bench? Or are you going to pick up your shield and your pike and get in the game by getting prepared? Are you going to have routine? Are you going to have perseverance? Are you going to practice? Are you going to have repetition, day after day, week after week, month after month? Shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield, pikes up, forward march. You'll be promacoy, a front ranker. It's your choice. You can do with it what you want. But I want you to remind you of Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. You might want to remember that one. Or let's look at national condemnation in Proverbs 1, 24 through 33. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. Oh, I think we have a book over there. Our pastor wrote The Whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, verse 28, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Verse 32, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Finally, verse 33, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. I think you all can see America in these verses, but the answer is always found in the same spot, and being here. So, I'm going to give you two more verses and we'll close, and I'm going to ask you the question before I read them. Which one of these verses are you? Don't answer it out loud, but in your own soul, the privacy, which one of these are you? Ezekiel 22:30. I search for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. No one to stand in the gap. If he could have found somebody, he wouldn't have destroyed the land. So that's option A. Now option B. Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Option two. Forever forward. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to fellowship in your word. We know it won't come back void, but we pray that we will take what we do seriously here and study, learn, and grow so we might grow into mature Christians, get off the bench, and become promacoi, front rankers. Please bring our Pastor Joe and Henry home safely so that he might continue with the study of James this Sunday. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.